Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Mary Key is here, too. Dr. Mary Hessler Key is an old friend of ours, longtime member of our Brain Trust. She's a business consultant, a speaker, an author, an executive coach extraordinaire. She's the author of two of my favorite books, The Entrepreneurial Cat and What Animals Teach Us. And she's one of our top management experts in the Brain Trust. Mary Key, welcome back to the show.
Oh, it's great to be on the show again. How are you this morning?
We're doing great. It's good to have you back, and thank you for your time over the years that you've given us, and especially today. Mary, you've been, I know you've been doing consulting for a number of years now, and you've met been in a lot of companies and met a lot of CEOs and a lot of management teams, but recently you have been really focusing on the best practices of about 50 companies, and I want you to talk to us about what you found.
Well, actually, what we did is my partner and I really took our collective experience, and we targeted 50 CEOs that we felt ran good small to medium-sized privately held companies, because a lot of the stuff out there really does not pertain to some of the privately held companies. And I guess one of the biggest things that we found is, and it's something that's going to culminate in a book, is that the best ones have some strategies and tools for creating significance in their lives, not just success. And
are you talking about balance, Mary?
Yes, I'm talking about balance, and I'm talking about not taking that model of being a high achiever and throwing everything into your business and being on your fourth wife and not knowing your kids and those kinds
of things. Now wait, Mary, or fourth husband.
Our fourth husband.
Yeah, we have to be fair here.
I know, it's true. I've balanced it out. For better or for worse, there still are more males in the category, but about 20% of the people we interviewed were women CEOs.
Well, good. And you know what? 5 years from now, it'll probably be more like 30%.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So what did you find? The balance thing.
Well, under that big umbrella, three major things. When people were asked what they see as their biggest accomplishment, consistently, they said that it was not just building the company, but it was having a mission and getting people in their organization rallying around that, so that they work together, to fulfill it. And
you know what, the military folks call that, don't you?
What?
Esprit de corps.
Esprit de corps.
Yeah. When you're in the military and there is something that just happens among,
right,
especially among a group that's well led and is successful, regardless of whether they're the mess hall or, you know, they're fighter planes, fighter squadron. It doesn't matter what the mission is. If it's well led, there's a esprit de corps that appears that is an incredible, intangible force.
I saw that yesterday. I was invited to a retirement ceremony for Lieutenant Colonel Deidre Dixon, and she was retiring. And it was just a wonderful event, full of a lot of emotion. But getting back to the research with the CEOs, I think it's interesting that people felt that when they did have a mission and collectively went beyond themselves to work on it together, that was very powerful. The second thing we found is that when people had a usable, relevant plan that they updated on a regular basis and used it as a business tool, they were more likely to achieve their goals faster than when they didn't have one.
A business plan. What would you say, what percentage of the 50 of your interviewees, what would you say would be the percentage that felt that way?
I would say about 60%, and they didn't always have business plans. So
right.
It was kind of like a discovery, you know, when asked, what's one of the keys to your success? And then I think a third discovery that was really important and reinforces some of the stuff out there is you got to have good people. And being intolerant of keeping people who really aren't good on board is something that I really advise your listeners to consider.
We had a human resources expert on this week who reminded us of something that I think you probably agree with, and he said take plenty of time to hire, but don't take a lot of time to fire.
Right. Right. And then also look at your hiring process. Are you really assessing the things that relate to what you're asking this person to do? And that's another, you know, big pitfall. So those are some of the discoveries from the interviews.
Mm-hmm. Well, what did they when they talked to you about balance, when you mentioned that at the very beginning, mm-hmm. what were some examples that they used for balance? Did they?
Well, I think, you know, the thing is, it was kind of a lessons learned thing. There were mm-hmm. some younger people in the group that kind of started their business with balance in mind. But there were a lot of people who said, you know, I wish I had learned how to do this differently. And one of the tools that, you know, we're going to share in our book is really looking at your life, not just in terms of achievement, but in looking at the realm of happiness. What makes you happy in mm-hmm. your personal life, at work, in your community, and beyond?
It's interesting what you can learn about somebody when you ask them a question like, "What's your most important success story?" And when you hear them answer that question, it's very interesting because some people will say, "Well, when I took my company public," and some people will say, "Well, when I had another branch across the state or whatever," mm-hmm. and then some people might say, "Well, I'd have to say my children."
Yeah, you're getting at an important point, and we asked this question. We got into the whole area of legacy. You know, what's the impact of the gift you want to leave behind? If this were your last day on the job and you were saying goodbye to everybody, what would you say together was your most significant accomplishment? And that's really where we got that information on, that we had a mission and we had a vision beyond the mission, and we worked on this collectively. And that in that process, we all grew. About 45% of the people said that one of the biggest parts of their legacy was the people that they grew along the way as they grew their company.
Mm-hmm. The impact that they had on those lives.
Yeah, But getting back to that original, taking a look at balance, there are really three camps I suggest people look at. One is...
Mary, hold on to that thought. I'm going to let you give us those three camps right after this break. Mary's done this before. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Mary Key is our guest, Dr. Mary Key. She's the author of What Animals Teach Us. And there's a new book in the hopper, and I'm really glad to hear about that. Here's the Godfather of Soul to take us out.
So good, I got to hear. Oh, I feel nice. A sugar and spice. I feel nice.
Little Fleetwood Mac for you. After. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. When you get there, be sure to check out the blog. Jim's blog, it's just like everything else we do, folks. It's not like anything else you've ever seen. We there's nothing normal about what we do around here, maybe some regular stuff, but whatever we do is going to be a little different from everybody else, and I hope you'll check out the blog when you get a minute. Also, you can find out more about Mary Key at our website. She's also, you might say Mary Hessler Key. Sometimes that's a name that we've used, that she uses, also, archives of past interviews that we've conducted with our good friend, Dr. Mary Hessler Key. Mary, give us your website as well, please.
It's www.marykeyassociates, with an S at the end, .com.
All right.
And there's some fun tools on there. So if you get on there, there's a great little needs assessment that really gets at performance issues in your company.
Now, what about the books? Can they find them there at your website?
Absolutely.
All right.
Sure.
What Animals Teach Us and The Entrepreneurial Cat. How's Jazzy, by the way?
He's great. Actually, Jazzy's looking at me right now. It's amazing. Every time I'm on the show with you, Jazzy shows up.
Well, Jazzy knows where the fun is.
He sure does. He's an entrepreneur.
You were telling us about the some balance elements that you found with these. There were three areas that you were going to talk to us about when we took the break.
They're actually life planning elements and elements that get out of balance, especially with entrepreneurs that own their own business. And one of the things we found is that the CEOs that finally got it, and they don't get it immediately sometimes, really look at setting goals in three major camps. One is happiness, and that's one that a lot of people who own companies kind of defer till later. One area is in the area of achievement. And the last area is in the area of legacy or significance. So
let's talk about the happiness for a minute. What was their quandary about having to put off happiness?
Well, I think it's balance. You know, happiness is, what do you really enjoy? Well, yeah. I might enjoy hiking, or I might enjoy, you know, just traveling for pleasure, or I might, I've always wanted to take up skydiving.
So me wanting to play more golf is sort of an example of that.
Is a happiness, yeah, that's exactly it. And then within that camp, it's
until
not
I get out there on the course, Mary, and then it's not always so happy.
Yeah, this frustration, And then there's individual happiness, like we're talking about. But then there's, what brings happiness in your personal life with your family, what brings happiness in terms of things you like to do in your, community, what might bring you happiness even on a spiritual level. Mm-hmm. The other camp, achievement, is usually where, people tend to focus, and that's in achieving specifically at work.
That's a real tension that a lot of small business owners have to deal with, Mary, and that is, you know, I've got pressures at home, or I'm feeling pressure myself. I'm putting it on myself.
Right.
I need to be where my children are. They've got a ball game, or they've got a recital, or mm-hmm. homework, or just tucking them in, or dinner for God's sakes mm-hmm. is something. If I'm feeling that pressure, but I got to get this bid out. I got to get this deal done.
Sure.
I've got to interview this employee. I've got to do this or that. There's always that pressure, isn't there?
And
knowing how to balance those is the real. That's the real trick, isn't it?
It is, and that's when you get to strategies about how to work better on your business and less in it.
Right.
And I think all companies have to go through that transition.
Say that last part again.
It's learning strategies how to work on your company. More and less in it.
I see. That's a hard one to really figure out, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It sure is, because you feel like, how am I going to invest in somebody who is a mini-me that can take part of my load?
Mm-hmm.
And you get so busy reacting to things that being proactive becomes difficult.
Right.
So these strategies I'm talking about are not so much people in the survey specifically said. They're just observations that, you know, as consultants we took a look at. Gee, if people began to plan in these three camps better and did some things in their companies so that they were working more on their business and less in it,
mm-hmm.
then they have a more fulfilling life. And I do think that people who have privately held companies have a better opportunity for this than people who run publicly traded companies.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I've been privileged in my consulting career to work with quite a few CEOs and their leadership teams from publicly traded companies. And I can tell you the short-term pressure for gains and the drive of the stock market.
Because of the analysts.
Oh. It's,
trying to keep
just,
the analysts
yeah,
happy.
You make your money and then you think about life balance once you get out.
Right, right. Well, and sadly, that's the direction that a lot of the marketplace is headed. You know, Shakespeare said, first we kill all the lawyers. I think maybe he might, if he were alive today, he might say, first we kill all the analysts.
Yeah. And the lawyers wouldn't be too far behind.
Yeah, right. They could be second. Mary, we got 30 seconds. Last thoughts.
Oh, last thoughts. Well, I think it's important to have a well-articulated mission and vision, think about life balance, and realize you can't execute on everything. So set priorities and delegate to others.
Well said, Mary. Excellent wrap up there. And give us the website one more time.
Mary Key Associates. With an S at the end, .com.
All right. Mary, thank you for being here. Say hi to Lewis
for us. Well, I'll call you soon.
Okay. Mary Key, ladies and gentlemen, she'll be back. The author of What Animals Teach Us. Quick break, right back with Governor Haley Barbour of Mississippi. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot. We'll be right back.
Prosperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.